Will you please pray with me? Lord God, may the meditations of all of our hearts that are gathered here this morning, and may the words that flow from my lips truly be pleasing in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was reading recently about a well-known scholar, and this was a scholar who wrote many books and academic articles and in journals, what have you, but he can only remember 25 letters of the alphabet. He didn't know why. And speaking of letters, because it seems pertinent to our discussion this morning, what has more letters than the alphabet? The post office. It's good to laugh, it's good to smile, it's good to gather together as God's people on the Sabbath morning. The reading from the story this week, we're on chapter 6 of the story, and it covers the Old Testament books of Numbers and Deuteronomy. And both of these books are part of the collection of the first five books of the Bible known as the Pentateuch. Sometimes it's referred to as the books of Moses or as the Torah, right, as the law. The book of Numbers gives an account of the nation of Israel's journey from Mount Sinai, where Moses receives the Ten Commandments, to Mount Nebo, which stood on the very edge of the Promised Land. And it took 40 years to get from Mount Sinai to Mount Nebo. The book of Numbers also gives a report of two different censuses that were taken. Is it census or censuses? One was taken at the very beginning at Mount Sinai, and the other was taken just before arriving into the Promised Land. The book of Deuteronomy is not like the book of Numbers. See, Numbers is more of a narrative storyline, similar to Genesis and Exodus. It's like reading a history book or a novel. Whereas when you come to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is a recapitulation of the journey of the people of God from Egypt to the border of the Promised Land. And by recapitulation, I simply mean it's a summing up. Right? It's a remembering and a collective remembering of what has happened along that journey. See, in Deuteronomy, Moses has to recapitulate the story of the people of Israel, because every single person that is heading into the Promised Land, except for two, were not alive when God brought the people out of Egypt. They didn't experience the awe and the wonders of God freeing his people from slavery. They did not have the memory of the Most High God descending on Mount Sinai in all of his glory and giving Moses the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the memory of Moses speaking to the rock and striking the rock and water flowing forth. They had no memory of the beginning of manna and quail being provided. So Deuteronomy is a series of speeches and sermons that Moses gives at the end of his life to teach the people who they are, right, and to remind them of who they belong. So in chapter 6 of the story, and we're going to read a few excerpts this morning from the story, but chapter 6 begins on page 71. And from page 71 all the way through page 84, those readings come from the book of Numbers. And then beginning on page 84 through the end of the chapter on page 88, those readings come from the book of Deuteronomy. So chapter 6 begins actually at Numbers chapter 10 with God moving the Israelite people away from Mount Sinai, where they've been living for a little over a year, because it's time for them to move north, to head towards the Promised Land, and to claim the inheritance which God had bound himself to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a beautiful land, a fertile land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Unlike the desert wilderness they've been living in for the past year, this will be a seeming paradise to them. But as the journey begins, Right? They have a number of issues that come forth regarding their faithfulness and their fidelity toward God. The people have been living on manna since leaving Egypt, and they wanted a variety of food in their diet. And they complained to Moses about this. You know, they're tired of just eating manna. They want something different. There's only so way you can prepare manna. You can fry it, you can saute it, you can boil it, you can eat it raw, but you get tired of it after a while, and they want something new. So God reacts to that. The Lord says to Moses, and I'm reading from page 72 of the story, "Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, 'If only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt.' Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord. Whoever is among you and have wailed before him saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" So God begins every day to have quail as a part of their diet. In the evenings, manna in the morning, quail in the evenings. Then a little further down the road, as they're traveling north, Moses' older brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron, they begin to suffer from jealousy. See, God has spoken to them at various times in this journey, but never in the way in which God speaks to Moses. Moses is the person whom God has chosen to be the intermediary, the mediator between God and his people. And Aaron and Miriam are jealous about this, and they don't understand why they can't make some of the decisions. And we find this in Numbers chapter 12. And what happens is God punishes Miriam. She is stricken with leprosy. And God does not remove that from her for 7 days. And then moving along, we come to Numbers chapter 13. And they're on the precipice of entering into the promised land at this time. And God comes to Moses and says, "I want you to have a leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want you to pair them up. And I want you to send these pairs into Canaan, into the promised land, to scout out the land." So Moses does so. They need to know, are the cities walled or are they unwalled? What are the pastures like? What are the orchards like? What can they expect when they come into the land which God is giving them? And they're gone for 40 days, and when they return, they're overwhelmed. They say, "Moses, this is a beautiful land. It is a land of milk and honey and massive grapevines and figs. But it's also a land of powerful people. Giant people live there with massive walled cities. There is no way that we can possibly come in and take that land from them." It's a remarkable lack of faith on the part of the leaders of these 12 tribes. But there are two people, two leaders who are faithful to God. One's name is Caleb, and Caleb comes from the tribe of Judah, and the other is Joshua. And Joshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim. And God, well, Moses goes to God and he intercedes on the people's behalf and says, "Please don't punish them for their unfaithfulness." Then we read, this is from Numbers chapter 13 on page 77 of the story. "The Lord replied, 'I have forgiven them, Moses, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors.'" Then he goes on to say, "No one apart from Caleb and Joshua." The punishment for their unfaithfulness is severe. No one who witnessed these miracles of God performed in Egypt will be allowed to enter into the promised land. The people of God will dwell in the desert for 40 years, waiting for that entire generation to die away. And it's during that time that God will take these people, those who are rising up, and in the heat of the wilderness will form them, will forge them into the people that God desires for them to be. As a potter shapes clay, God is shaping his people to prepare them to enter into the promised land. And at roughly the same time that this was all happening, the people begin to mumble that they don't have enough water to drink, right? They don't have enough for themselves and for their livestock, and they're all going to die. So God comes to Moses and says, "Moses and Aaron, I want you to go to this rock, and I want you to speak to the rock, and water will flow forth from the rock." But Moses is upset with the people. He's incensed at the way they treat him and the way they speak of God. He feels completely disrespected. He didn't want the job in the first place. And yet here he was, and Moses is so upset that rather than speaking to the rock and water coming forth, Moses strikes the rock with his staff. Water does come forward. But God tells Moses that for his disobedience, he and Aaron will not be able to enter into the promised land. It's a tragedy. The book of Numbers takes us to page 84. With 40 years after Moses striking the rock and the Israelites refusing to enter the promised land, at the end of Numbers, we read that they have arrived at the Abiram mountain range. That's the Transjordan range today. It is the buffer zone between the nation of Israel and Jordan today. The highest peak is Mount Nebo, 2,651 feet above sea level. And it's here that God tells Moses, he says, "Remember, you are not going into the promised land, but I want you to anoint one who will take over from you, who will be your successor." So God takes Joshua, son of Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim, and Moses consecrates him to follow him into the promised land as the leader. Now remember, as I shared above, Deuteronomy is a recapitulation of the story of salvation for God's people. They're an account for a new generation of people getting ready to enter into the promised land. And they needed to be reminded of who they were and to whom they belonged. And Deuteronomy is written in the form of an ancient treaty. It has a preamble. It has stipulations to the covenant. It has supplementary requirements for keeping the covenant. It has a ratification of the covenant. That is, there's blessings and there's curses. If you do the right things, you'll be blessed. If you do the wrong things, you will be cursed. And there's a leader succession under the covenant. All that is given to the people by Moses through his speeches and sermons in this book. And by the way, Deuteronomy is the most quoted book in the New Testament. And as Moses shares this renewed covenant between God and the people of Israel in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, he gives them another reading of the Ten Commandments, which Matt shared with the kids today. Deuteronomy simply means, it's two Greek words, right? Deutero, which means two or second, and nomos, law. It's the second reading or second giving of the law. And after he gives that second reading of the law, immediately following that, Moses shares what will become the most sacred prayer of the Jewish people. It is called the Shema, and it is recited by faithful Jewish people all around the world to this very day.